Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. And one of the things I want to try to get into the habit of doing, this is kind of a, we mentioned a while ago, this is kind of a dry run here before we start having our services live over the internet. I kind of want to get in the habit of just asking people, are you saved? Are you born again? Okay? I may preach on a lot of things. I may not, and sometimes I may not even deal with really how to be saved, but being saved is asking. You got to ask God. Amen? You got to ask Him. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. Jeremy back there is a sinner. His wife could probably tell you stories. Okay? Go ahead, Candace. No, never mind. Don't do that. Bradley's a sinner. Courtney's a sinner. Okay? Everybody in here is a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? You're not ever going to get better. You might get better at sinning. We all do, but we're not going to get better as far as becoming better people. We're not going to do it. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We all deserve hell, and we deserve it real hot. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 5. We're not saved by what we're doing here tonight. We're not saved by church attendance, not saved by church membership or paying tithes. We're not saved by those things. We're saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do remember, I am going to say this. I had a phone conversation today with a lady called, and she's actually come all the way from Michigan several years ago and visited our church, her and her husband. She had a son that was going to St. Louis University up here. And she called me today, and she had a lot of questions. She was involved with a church group that, when I started talking about the word faith movement, how it was resembled witchcraft and stuff like that, she started taking notes, started paying attention to what was going on in her church. And she said that the pastors and some of the teachers and some of the quote-unquote prophets would be telling everybody, let's say that Gary's had a cold all week. I mean, bad cold. I mean, he couldn't come Sunday, this and that and the other. You know what they would tell you up there, Gary? They would tell you that there is probably some unconfessed sin in your life from way back, could be even 20, 30 years ago, that you have not yet called out to God and confessed and repented of it. And that's why He's cursed you with this cold or this and that and the other. And she said that, and I said, now you stop right there. And she was asking me, is that right? And I said, no. The Bible said Jesus died once and for all. Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to ask a question tonight. If you're sitting here tonight, who in here can honestly say that you told God every single thing that you've ever done wrong your entire life? I want you to raise your hand. Everything you've ever done wrong. You tried to. Okay? But we can't do it. I don't remember half the stuff I've done. Don't want to remember half the stuff I've done. But we confess that we are sinners, we call upon the name of the Lord, and God saves us. And what this guy was teaching was, is that even though you're saved, God can still come back and get you over sins that you forgot about long time ago. That's what they were telling these people. That's not the gospel. That's bondage. Amen? It's bondage. And we had a good conversation for that. Anyway, but if you want to be saved, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that if you want to be saved, I believe you can get home, get along with God, crawl away somewhere and say, God, would you save me? I don't understand what it's all about, but I know I don't want to go to hell. And I believe you ask God to save you and God will help you. Somebody say amen. God doesn't break His promises. Amen. God does not break His promises. Turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the 12 tribes, and they are a partial fulfillment of what God started telling Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12. Now I'm just going to deal with this number just for a little bit, because when I began to study numbers in the Bible, I wanted to know what the Bible said about them, and I wanted to get a clear idea from the Scriptures what these numbers were all about. What did they mean? Why were there 12 tribes? Why were there 12 apostles? Different 12s that you see in the Bible, I wanted to know that. I wanted to know what that represented, and God's kind of opened my eyes a little bit. But when I go back to Genesis chapter 12, I see a story there, and God's kind of revealing His plan through these stories. And there in Genesis chapter 12, we have the story of Abram. Abram, even before his name was changed to Abraham, and Abram didn't change his own name. I know some of us want to change our name. Amen. You've run the old name through the mud, wouldn't mind having a new one. Amen. So, well, who's that guy? Well, you know. But anyway, Abram, before even God changed his name, God had made a promise with him that He was going to bless him and that He was going to multiply him. And at that time, Abram did not have any children. He was well on into his, well stricken in age, but he had not any children whatsoever. And yet God promised him that He was going to multiply his seed as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. God promised him that. And this is before Abram had any children whatsoever. And that's just to tell you that a lot of times, now there are some places in the Bible where promises are conditional. This is not one of them. This was an unconditional promise that God was making with Abraham before he did anything righteous, before this whole deal of him taking Isaac to Mount Moriah and offering him up there in obedience to God. God had already promised Abram that He would bless him. And He said, "Out of thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And that was a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came from the lineage of Abraham, and God blesses the entire world with the offer of salvation by Jesus Christ out of the lineage of Abraham. Did God keep His promise to Abram in that day? Did God keep His promise? Yes, and He's still keeping it. That promise has never failed on this earth. So the number 12 deals with the number promise. So here's what God does. God said, "Abram, I'm going to bless your seed." Abram's probably thinking, "I don't have any seed, but you know, okay, I just believe you." Well, then lo and behold, in his old age, Abram was 100 years old. He was Abraham. God had changed his name. And he had a child. And he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then that's no big deal to you. You might say, well, they may be messed up and maybe she was about 40. And I want to tell you something. God does things that to men are impossible. It's not that impossible for a 40-year-old woman to have a child. Okay? But I want to tell you something. It is impossible for a 90-year-old woman, even in our age, to give birth. And even in those days, it was impossible for that to happen, and yet God did it. God will work through ways that to us, there's no way it's going to work out. That, you know why He's doing that? He's removing our strength from the deal. We're not saved by our own strength of our own will, or our own fortitude, or our own positive mental images, or whatever. We're not saved by that stuff. We're saved by the power of God doing the impossible work inside of our lives. Now I want you to stop and think just for a minute about what to you would be impossible. What to you would be impossible? And I want to ask you a question. I just want you to stop just for a minute. And I want you to think about your sins. I don't want you to think about your wife's sins or your husband's sins or your children's sin. I want you to think about yours. I want you to think about the things that plague you, the things that trouble you, the things that bother you, the things that before you got saved you couldn't give up. And after you got saved, you still struggle with things. I want to ask you about your sin. And ask you about how hard it is for you to just not sin anymore. For you to just give up and just, you know what, I'm done. I'm not going to sin anymore. Praise God. You know, for a long time, I grew up in this church. And I grew up hearing good preaching. I grew up hearing Bible teaching. But I had a misunderstanding. I don't think it was the preacher's fault. I think it was mine. My problem was, is I thought that at some point I'm going to be really good. At some point, I'm going to be really good, and I won't sin no more. Because I mean, I look around. It's just kids sitting here swinging my legs there underneath the pews, watching all these adults, and I thought they were perfect. I thought they were just the greatest people in the whole world. And I remember there was one guy in this church. He was my Sunday school teacher. I won't even mention his name. He was my Sunday school teacher in this church, taught a class of young boys, and I just looked up to this guy. All of a sudden, you know what? He was not in church anymore. And I want, where is he? Where is he? And then before too long, him and his wife busted up because he was having an affair with some other woman. And to this day, the man's nowhere to be found inside of a church anywhere. You know what God started showing me? Just because you're in church, you're not perfect. Even, watch this, even because you're saved, that does not make you perfect. And I want you to think about what to you would be an impossible situation for you to do. Young people, listen to me. Okay? Now, I want to, you young people, listen to this. These are good people. Don't get me wrong. Amen? Well, let's say halfway decent. Okay? None of these adults here listen to rap music. All right. See, that's halfway decent. All right? Now, I won't tell you what they do listen to, but anyway. But these people are not perfect. They're not perfect. They will make mistakes. Even your mom and your dad will make a mistake. And don't you sit there and go, see, Mom. Told you. That's not your place. Okay? But I'm telling you, the young people, the adults that you see sitting here are not sitting here by their own fortitude, their own will, their own strength, their own righteousness. They're sitting here by the mercy and grace of Almighty God. And because they fell upon their knees one day and they said, God, promise me that I'll live forever. And God promised. Raise your hand. God promised me that I won't die and go to hell. And God said, I promise. And God doesn't break his promises. Amen? Doesn't break his promises. So here he tells Abram, you're gonna, not only are you going to have one child, but it's going to end up that your children are going to be more in number than the stars of heaven. Now I just believe the Bible. Amen? I believe God. So then lo and behold, he has Isaac. Okay? And then Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Okay? So now we're dealing with Jacob, and now we're going to see the fruition or a partial fulfillment of what God said. And it has to do with, I wish I had 12 fingers. I would hold them up here. Okay? I'll hold them next to my two ears. 10 fingers and two ears. That's 12. Okay? So look in verse, in chapter 29. Look in verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now what I did was I made a list of all the children now that are going to be born here. Okay? And this is really telling. The only one we're not going to get to tonight is a man by the name of Benoni. Benoni. Some of you who don't know who that is, read your Bible. Benoni. Okay? And I can't wait till I get to Benoni because there's a beautiful, beautiful story out here out of Benoni. All right? But anyway, we're going to look at the birth of the 12 tribes. I've got them listed here. Okay? So watch this. Verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben, for she said. Now I want you to notice this. That as these children are born, they're named. And they're named because of what's on the mother's heart when they're born. Okay? Not only does this, and I'll just kind of cut to the chase here. This typifies with each child that is born, especially these men. All these are men, with the exception of Dinah. They are the male child. The birth of a male child represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of these men that are born are going to be typical of the Lord in some way. First of all, we have Reuben. He's the firstborn. The Bible says that the firstborn belongs to the Lord. Whatever comes out of the matrix, either of man or beast, that thing belongs to the Lord. That's why Christ had to be the firstborn son of Mary. That's why he had to be. Because he was the Lord's anointed and Lord's chosen, and chosen, and he belonged to the Lord. He was the first begotten of the Mary. The reason why I keep saying that is the NIV butchers the scriptures there, and so these modern translations, because when it talks about it, and she begat her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, the new translations just say, and she begat a son. It's not right. They've removed the doctrine, the entire fulfillment of the law in that Christ was the firstborn son. Somebody say amen. So here we have Reuben. And for she said, now this is why she named him Reuben. And you don't need, I mean, if you want to go into the Hebrew, be my guest, because all these are Hebrew names. But I just like how the Bible is just going to tell you what the name means anyway. Okay, just read it. So she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. You know what Reuben means? The Lord looked on him. Okay, the son who was looked upon is what the word Ben there means, son. The son who was looked upon. And she said, the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And I want to tell you something. This is typical of our Lord, who when we call unto him, he has already looked upon our affliction. Did you know that God knew about your problems before they even showed up in your life? God knew about them. In fact, God knew this so well that 400 years before the Israelites cried out unto God in the book of Exodus to send them a deliverer, God had already proclaimed to Abraham that they were going to do that. God was looking. God, listen, God is the God who is looking. We talked about Japan a while ago. They're a nation of idol worshipers. The Bible talks about idols that they have eyes. Those statues of Buddha that they got over there, every one of them's got eyes. Can't see anything. That Buddha's got ears. And they pray to him, and they quote mantras to him, and they chant to him, and they ring bells. He can't hear. He's got a nose. And did you know they burn incense in the temples of Buddha night and day? He can't smell them. And he's got hands. And he's got big hands. Some of these statues of Buddha are huge. And his hands can't do anything. They bring these idols, gifts, presents, gold, food, you name it. And the idol never moves, never speaks, never does anything for them, and yet their devotion is solid. To what? A rock or a piece of wood. That's what their devotion is to. That's sad. Because I have a God who there is no way you can carve out an image of my God. Amen? Here's the only representation right here that we have. And it's a pretty good one. Okay? So if you want to know what God looks like, start reading Genesis 1:1, work your way through Genesis 22, and then go back and read it again because you forgot something. Amen? Okay? That's God. And my God is the God who looks upon our affliction. That's why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, because God looked down upon the earth and he could see the affliction of your sin. Somebody say amen. All right. Now look at the next one. Verse 33. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath what? Heard that I was hated. So guess what the name Simeon means? He heard. Reuben is, he saw. And Simeon is, he heard. Now, how many of you a while ago, before I started preaching, when we had our prayer time, who in here, you don't have to raise your hand, just ask yourself this question. Was I really praying? And you know, while we were doing that, I was the one praying out loud. So I think God only heard me, right? God hears us even when we speak here. You believe that? Amen. Okay? I do. Because the best sleep at night is when you go to sleep talking to the Lord. Amen? And I used to feel guilty about falling asleep. And I'd do this. I'd be praying, you know. And all of a sudden I'd go to sleep. And I'd wake up. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm trying to stay awake. I didn't know that the best way in the world to go to sleep is talking to the Lord. Amen? Tell him all about it. Because Simeon means he's the God that heard. God has ears and he hears. So he looked upon the affliction of his people. He sent Jesus. He heard the cries of the wicked and he sent Jesus down to be born. And then he said in verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. That means joined together. See how the Bible just explained that to you? Okay. And I was kind of reading up on this, and I read a little bit, and I thought, well, all this guy is saying is that the Bible, what the Bible's saying is right. So I just kind of closed the book, and I just went and read the Bible. And I said, well, Levi means joined together, Simeon means heard, and Reuben means saw. Okay, so the rest of it's pretty easy. Okay, but anyway, Levi, now watch this. They're all born in order. Reuben's the firstborn son. Simeon's the second one. He's a picture of the first and second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Levi is the priestly tribe. He was born third. So the number three represents lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Who in here has got at least one of those in here tonight? Okay? We're lustful. We're prideful. We're full of sin. Amen? It's hard to get it out of us. Amen? God's trying to drive it out of us. It's hard to get it out of us. We have wicked flesh. And the third book of the Bible is the book of Leviticus. Leviticus. And Leviticus is all about 27 chapters in Leviticus. That's a number of books in the New Testament, by the way. 27 chapters in Leviticus. That's 3 times 3 times 3. And Leviticus is all about a price has to be paid for the sins of mankind. So here is Jesus, who is the fulfilled promise of God coming down to us in the form of Levi, the high priest, and he is sold for how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. And he's how old? 33 years old. And he ministered on the earth for 3 years, and then he's hanging on the cross. And how many other crosses are there on Calvary? There's two others on there. The Bible says because he was numbered with the transgressors. Somebody say amen. And how many words did he say at the very end? It is finished. Thus, when hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, the Bible says. When the Bible says Jesus said it is finished, the Bible says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He was acting out the scriptures even before they were written. God was acting them out. Somebody, isn't that cool? That is awesome. That makes me want to ride a motorcycle. Amen. Well, I'm just getting fired up. No. All right. How does a Harley sound? Is that a Harley? I've heard a Suzuki before. That's not a... All right, anyway. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Okay? Now watch this. Watch it. Verse 35, here's number 4. Okay? 4 is always the number for the gospel in the spiritual realm. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Guess what Judah's name means? Praise the Lord. Okay? Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. And left bearing. Okay? Because number 1, God sees your affliction. Number 2, God hears your prayer. Number 3, God sent a sacrifice. And number 4, you jump up and say, hallelujah! God saved me. Somebody say amen. I like it. God's fulfilling the promise here through his son, Jesus Christ. And I got something neat to show you here in a little bit. All right. And then we get into in chapter 30, verse 1, where Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. Now I want to stop right here, and just very briefly. And I may have dealt with this a little bit last week, but I want to tell you something. Jacob always had problems because he had too many women. And that's not a slam against women. What that is a slam against is everybody. And I know divorce happens, things like that. And you regret it and you move on and praise the Lord. You know, that's how it's going to be. But we're living in a situation right now where everybody's jumping from bed to bed all over this country, popping up children everywhere in the world. And they got, I don't know how many women after them for child support and for everything else. And they're not getting along and so on and so on. And I'm going to tell you what, it causes problems. God has a way. Amen. God has a way. Even those that have broken that way, God still has a way, and it's right. Somebody say amen. All right, now, behold my maid Bilhah, going into her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived, and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son, therefore called she his name Dan. The key word here is judgment. God judged him. And here is Dan, and he's number five. And the judgment of Almighty God was enacted upon Christ on the cross, and how many times was he pierced? One, two, three, four, and then fifth one in his side. And he represents the finished judgment of Almighty God there upon the cross. Once you're saved, God's judgment over you is over with, because now you are justified and in need of no more judgment. Amen? You're in need of no more judgment. And that's what Dan represents in him being number five. Now, let's see here. Blah, blah. Where we go to? Verse 7. Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again. She actually had two children. She bare Jacob a second son. This is son number six. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali, which, guess what his name means? Wrestler. Okay? He used to run around with spandex and an oiled body all the time. No, wore sunglasses. No, that wasn't him. He wrestled with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's wrestled with the devil. He's like Jacob, whose name then becomes Israel, because he wrestled with God and prevailed. He fought with God and prevailed. So Christ is the one who is the wrestler, who has fought the battles for us, and he's represented by Naphtali. Now verse 9, "And when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife." Now watch this. I'm going to throw this in here real quick, because then we're going to see Rachel get in on the deal. And I'll tell you what, the first time I saw this, I praised the Lord, because I understood what it was. What I was doing, I was studying this number four and what it meant. The number four will point you to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you see all kinds of it. Watch this now. Here's a guy in the Bible who is lame upon his feet, and he cannot walk. And Jesus is inside of a house, and he's preaching inside of this house. And this lame man needs to get to Jesus so that he can stand against the devil in the last days. How many of you want to do that? Say amen. But we're lame. We can't do it. We need the touch from Jesus Christ. How did that lame man get into that house where Jesus was through all the crowd? He was born of four, just like the Ark of the Covenant was, born of four Levite priests. The Bible says he was born of four, and those four carried him to Jesus so he could get healed, so he could stand. How's that a gospel story for you? Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is born. Jesus lives. He dies. He's born. He's resurrected from the grave. And he lives forever right now, interceding on our behalf, mentioned in the four gospels. And here's four guys carrying this old lame man in. Somebody say amen. So we have Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. The 12 tribes, which were the fruition of the promise. Watch this now. I like it. You may not get it, but I get it. The 12 who were the blessing of God and the promise of God were born out of the four. It's like us being born into Christ by what happened on the cross in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many of you get that? Okay? You may not have Satan the doodads going up down my back right now, but I got them. Because I get it. God was showing not only his promise being fulfilled, he was showing how it was going to be done by using these four women to do it. And you know what? And I'm going to throw this in too. You know what else that means? Now, I've already mentioned this, but who in here would want to live with four wives at the same time in the same house? If you're smart men, you'd go, no, I don't want to do that. Okay? Ladies, if you're smart, you'd look at him and say, you can't do that. And yet God, watch this now, and yet God, through this unholy situation, is still going to birth his promise. Mary was not sinless the way she's made out to be. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a sinner. You know how I know? Because she rejoiced when she was told that she was going to give birth to the Christ child. She rejoiced in God, her Savior. She needed a Savior. Amen? But anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there. All right, now, where was we? We had Dan, and we had Naphtali, and verse 10, Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son, and Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. You know what a troop is? That's an army. Who's captain of the host? It's the Lord Jesus. Listen. The Bible says the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Okay? That is the millennial reign saints who are returning with Christ to fight the troop. We are the troop. Amen? We might be F troop, but we're the troop. Amen? We might be a ragtag team, but we're the troop. And we're going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days to defeat the enemy. Somebody say amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 16, bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Can't wait. Amen. All right. Now, let's see here. And then verse 12. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Well, guess what Asher's name means? Happy. Okay? Because I want to tell you something. When you're right with God, you're not sad. Amen? I want to tell you something. This guy blessed my heart. I saw him Sunday. And I want to tell you what, he was broken over the death of his uncle. He was crying and everything like that. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's how I would be. Amen? I mean, I met Neil. I like Neil. He's a great guy. I wish he was here tonight. Amen? I kind of miss the guy. But I want to tell you something. It makes me happy. It makes me want to shout because I know where the man is tonight. Amen? He's at home in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't come back here on a bed. Amen? And I'll tell you what, when you get right with God, you get happy. And even death will bring a happiness to a saint. Amen? Verse 14, and Reuben went into the days of wheat harvest. And I'll tell you what, this mandrakes thing, I don't get it. So I'm going to skip it. You read it on your own time, all right? I studied this thing and prayed, and God, you know, I don't get the mandrakes deal. Okay? I don't get it. But anyway, verse 17, and God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar, and Issachar means hired. Okay? And, I'm moving on. If I ain't got it, I ain't giving it out. Amen? Okay? So you can call me stupid if you want. Just be nice. And then verse 19, Leah conceived again, bare Jacob the sixth son, and Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. You know what that is? It's an inheritance. Okay? Who is the one who has the right of the inheritance? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shares that with us. And so anyway, because I have borne him six sons, and she called his name Zebulun. That's what the word Zebulun means. It means a dowry or an inheritance. Verse 21, and afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Notice that Dinah does not have a reason for her name. Okay? There's nothing mentioned with that. In verse 22, and God remembered Rachel. Now look at this, and I'm going to close with this one tonight. Actually, I got a couple verses here real quick. God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. Rachel, you remember, now there has been 10 children born. And let's see, how many do I have? I have six by Leah, two by Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, two by Zilpah, Leah's handmaid. And so far, Rachel's had to sit there on the sidelines and watch all these children be born. Now, she tried to act comforted when her handmaid Bilhah gave birth to two children. But it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. Now I'll tell you something. It's nice when we see people saved. Amen. It's nice when we see souls come to the Lord and all this stuff. We see people in the church that, I mean, God just gets a victory in their life. And we see that. And it's nice to see that. But it's not the same as us getting a blessing as well. Can I hear you say amen? It's not the same. And I believe we ought to rejoice when people get blessed and people get saved. And when we see somebody in the church and God is really just blessing them and working, I don't think you ought to say, well, how come I'm not like that? I don't think you ought to be mad at them. I don't think you ought to be jealous. But I think you ought to rejoice with them. But it's not the same as you getting a blessing. Amen? It's not the same. So here's Rachel. In verse 22, and I want you to look at this. If you don't get anything out of what I said tonight, you remember the word remembered. You remember the word remembered. And I'm going to show you why here in a minute. God doesn't forget. God's not like us who forgets. I don't have it on me. I carry around a phone, and I was pretty insistent. This phone, when I had surgery, it got washed in the washing machine. I lost the thing. It had one of these calendars on it, and I kept everything on that calendar. Okay? And when I'd come home and Lisa would say, I got a doctor's appointment, so-and-so, man, I pulled my phone out right then, put it in there, because I knew I was going to forget. And so that's what I do. I just made it a habit to just put it in that phone. A ding goes off, and I go, doctor's appointment. Okay? And it works pretty much. Okay? God doesn't forget. Now, I'm just serious as death tonight, young and old. Have you ever asked God for something and you haven't got it yet? I want you to raise your hand as a testimony. Look at here. There's hands all over this building. Thank you. God didn't forget. God didn't forget. Who was it? Zacharias? Serving the Lord in the temple daily. And God had promised him that before he died, he would see the Lord's Christ. And he lived, and he was in his 80s, I think, if I remember right. He was way up there. And he saw Mary bringing in Jesus on the 8th day. He went, grabbed the child, put it in his arms. He said, now I can die. I've seen the Lord's Christ. It may have taken years since God made that promise to him. But God keeps his promises. I'm going to give you another one. And I had a guy send me an email. The more people out there watch this, the more they're going to come out of the woodwork, Jeremy. Okay, they're coming out. And I had God take me to issue on Israel. He said, you just need to study the Bible more on Israel. Everybody knows that Jews are not really Jews. Well, yeah, they are. Okay? And I want to tell you something. Paul prayed, brethren, my heart's desire is that all Israel would be saved. Did you know that God gives us the desires of our heart? How many of you really believe that? How many of you really believe that? It's not to the saints, the holy saints, that God promises that. We are the holy saints, by the way. I just don't call you Saint Sterling and Saint Lisa. God doesn't just make his promises to the good people. God made a promise to Abram before he had done anything. God promised him. And I want to tell you something. Paul prayed that prayer almost 2,000 years ago. And God's going to answer that prayer. Because God doesn't forget. We might. But he doesn't forget. How many of you believe that when Christ comes, he will come at the exact right moment? You believe that? That's because God always reserves the answers to those prayers at the right time. So just because you prayed one day and it didn't... Now, I like those. I'll be honest. I like those prayers that within 5 minutes they get answered. Amen? I love them. Wow, praise the Lord. It's going to be like this forever now. Not really. But just because I didn't see it in a day, a week, a year, 5 years, God's going to answer the prayer. Because God remembered Rachel, verse 22, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. Look at what she said. The Lord shall add to me another son. This gal believed God so much because he had opened her womb the first time. She actually named her son in commemoration of the fact that God, she knew for a fact she was going to have another child. And she did. And she called him Ben-Oni. Okay? Ben-Oni. When we get there, I'll tell you what that means. Okay? But anyway, very quickly, turn to Isaiah 49, and then I'm going to be done. While you're turning there, I'll just simply say, and I've got it written down in my notes here. You can look it up, Exodus chapter 28. You don't have to turn there. But I love this. First time I read this, and I'll tell you what, I wept. Oh, man, I tell you what, I wept. God had designed it in the law that the high priest, I love this. I love the language of the King James Bible. There's none other in comparison to it. The Bible says that the high priest, they were designed a breastplate to go on the high priest's, over his chest. And the Bible, I love the Bible, the King James says it was four square. I know a city that looks exactly like that, amen. Okay? And in that breastplate, it was to have 12 stones. And on each one of those stones was one of those names. And the Bible says, so that when the high priest goes in to the holy place, he's bearing the names of the 12 tribes on his heart. Whew. I got doodads. Because when Jesus, the high priest, was on the cross, guess who was on his heart? 12 tribes. So that we see in the book of Revelation chapter 7, there's 12,000 out of Levi, and there's 12,000 out of Gad, and there's 12,000 out of Naphtali, and there's 12,000 out of Judah, and there's 12,000 out of Manasseh. And it goes on and on and on until you get 12,000 times 12, which is 144,000. And it's not the Jehovah's Witness. Amen. Amen. It's not them. It's his people. And God loves them so much. How many of y'all want to go through the pearly gates? Amen? There's 12 of them. And above each gate is a tribe's name. Because God keeps his promises. Amen? Isaiah 49. Be honest. If you've ever thought God forgot you, I want you to do this. I want you to hold your hand up like this. Okay? Take a look at it. Okay? Take a good look at it. Okay? The palm, you want your palm red? It's red now. Okay? I love that joke. Okay? You've got lines on your hand. Now, the occult representation of this is palmistry that says these lines determine the course of your life. Don't go for that. Don't believe that nonsense. Amen? You might have been holding a sledgehammer all your life or a jackhammer every day, and you just changed the lines on your hand and wore them out. Amen? Okay? Let me tell you what these are for. Okay? I'm going to show it to you from the Bible. By the way, God's got the same lines as you got. Okay? Watch this. Isaiah 49, verse... Let's look at verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. I will not forget you. I won't. God remembered Rachel. Then he said in verse 16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. And Jared, I was reading that one day, and I was looking at that, and I'm going, boy, he did. God carved, he said, I've graven thee in the palm of my hand. God carved lines in his hand. And I was looking at that one day, and I said, Lord, what does that mean? Because you have to ask God. Amen? You want to know something? Ask God. So watch this. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And I went, that's it. The walls of New Jerusalem, there's four of them. And on each wall, there's three gates. One, two, three. And God said, I will never forget you. You know how we do? We write stuff on our hand or something like that we don't want to forget. Okay, tie a ribbon around her finger. God just carved lines in his hand so that when he looked, he saw that he made a promise to the 12 tribes, to Abram. And he builds a city called New Jerusalem, and it's designed with this same thing in mind here. The lines on the fingers represent the 12 gates and the four walls of New Jerusalem and the names of the tribes of Israel above each one of those gates. And God said, I'll never forget you because I'll always have my right hand. This is the right hand right here. It's the book in God's right hand. Now it takes, you know what the best, hey, serious as I can be, you know what the best remedy is in the whole world when you think that God's forgotten you? You'll remember that he didn't. Amen? You'll remember that he didn't. So I'm going to ask you tonight, okay? I'm going to shut this off. I'm going to ask you tonight for you to think of what you have asked God before. Ask him again. Ask him again. This time, you believe it. God won't forget you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins, And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.